Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Phone Show Chat podcast with me and Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello. Nice to catch up.
I don't wish to complain, but once again, there was no Nomad Tech Project podcast last night, so you're getting a nice little break there, aren't you?
Yeah, should I explain? Right, so Sam had a weekend of Tai Chi. I spoke to him today. He said he's really feeling it, though. Getting old sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. So is it back next week?
It should be, yeah. I hope so, unless he's got something else going on that I don't know about. Yes. But I did feature on a different podcast, The Tech Disruptors, and they had JoJo the Techie on. Quite good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have a look at that later. I didn't know that, see. Otherwise, I would have tuned in last night. Anyway, this is show 896, and it's the 18th of May, and we're doing a bit of a catch-up show here. First point of order, though, is that I've got a bit of audio from Jeremy Harpham about PSC Pub Meets. So I'm going to plug that in right now and take it away, Jeremy, and we'll be back in a second.
Hello, Joe, Ted, and everybody else. It's Jeremy here, and we've got great news. Joe and I have agreed a date for our next meetup. This is a London meetup for those that can get there in the UK. It's on Saturday, the 20th of June. And we're going to be going for a central London location to the Pendrell's Oak Wetherspoons pub, which is a short walk from Holborn Underground Station. Chose the Wetherspoons because it was inexpensive and had the full range of tea, coffee, beer, food, etc., all at reasonable cost last time, and oodles of space. I'm intending to be there from midday, Joe from 2:30, so do arrive any time. Respond in the group to the post that you'll see is also posted in the chat, if you're coming along, so we know we're expecting you, and we'll provide other updates nearer the time. There's also a link to the location of the pub. Thank you all, and we look forward to seeing you there. Bye for now.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Jeremy. I hope he gets a bit of a turnout to that one. Given that it's in London, I guess he should do that. It's the peripheral ones that are the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I won't be ill this time, I promise.
Yeah, you can't guarantee it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I can't guarantee it. I'm not often ill, so it was very strange that I was ill that time. I'm actually working in the morning, hence me being coming a bit later, to 1:45, but I come straight on the train from Luton. It doesn't take too long, and I'll be there.
Cool.
If for some reason the 20th isn't good for anyone, talk ASAP and let us know, because I have booked myself off on the 27th as a backup plan. So,
right.
Yeah, and just let us know, please, guys.
Mm, you do get around, don't you? nice one. I had a bit of a to-do today with my dad. He was tracking. I want to talk about Google Maps and tracking and Samsung tags and tracking because there was a time when Google Maps was just crap, and it didn't track anyone particularly well at all. And that's the point at which I bought these Samsung Tag 2 thingies. And I thought that'll do. So I put one on my dad's house keys, one on his car keys. So whichever one he took, if the worst came to the worst, I could track him. And it kind of worked. It was fine. But today, I had a complete silence from him, and that's not like him at all. And so I had a look at my phone, and Google Maps reported his last sighting at about 5 o'clock Sunday evening. So, like, now it's 7, so, like, you know, 26 hours ago. So I thought there's something wrong here. That it might be just something wrong with the tracking. So I thought, right, I'll get the Samsung tags out because they should work. And I went into Samsung tags, whatever it's called. What's it called? Smart Things Find.
Oh, yeah, I see, yeah.
No, there was no sniff of him at all. The last time it was tracked him was in March sometime, and the other key ring was in April, I think it was. And so they those two things had not kept up at all with any tracking. So I thought to myself, he might be dead. I better go round there. And so I got on my scooter and headed round there just an hour ago to find him sitting there quite happily, tucking into some supper. And I thought you were dead. And he's so he thought it was quite amusing, of course. But turns out that he's touched the airplane mode button on his notification shade, which I've now removed and taken off, and it just cut everything off, which is, you know, I mean, that's what it's supposed to do, fair enough. But what I was more concerned about was that the Samsung tags didn't work in any way, shape or form, particularly after I found out, he told me this evening, that he's actually been to Glan Clwyd Hospital today, which is the, you know, the main hospital in North Wales. And I can't believe that there isn't 101 people in the hospital that's got a Samsung phone, which should, as I understand it, have picked him up on the whole thing with those tags, but they just didn't work. You know, the Samsung smart things fine thingy just has not worked at all. So we've come from a situation where I was relying on the Samsung tags to work more to relying on Google Maps to work more, which it does normally, except you had airplane mode on. anyway, I gave him a slap and I said, don't do it again. And he's now got to watch out for the little aeroplane at the top, but he shouldn't be able to touch it now because I've taken it away. So, yeah, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is, did your dad do it on purpose because he wanted a break from you? He's cheeky, isn't he? He's like, I'll put aeroplane mode on. And I'd say I did it by accident.
I said that to him tonight. I said, you've now learned, haven't you, that if you go into attention-seeking mode and you want me to come round, then all you've got to do is turn your phone off and eventually I'll come round.
Yeah, he knows that now. Yeah. You've taught him something. But with this Samsung, it's very disappointing, isn't it? The batteries haven't died, have they?
No, the batteries are fine, because actually I changed them about 2 months ago, because they did bellyache and cry out, so I did. It's not that they're not working, it's just that Samsung, he must have been around Samsung users, unless Samsung have changed the way they do that tracking. I don't know.
I think they'd still utilise their other devices, I think, because that technology is there, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you utilise that? It's very disappointing, really.
Yeah. Have you had any experience of airplane mode being a problem?
Yeah. So actually, I've had customers come in and say, "Oh, I've got no service," and it's been exactly that. They've got airplane mode.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was quite early in my career, and I realised, do you know what? You have to check all the dumb things before you worry about doing SIM swaps or anything like that. Mm. Check everything. And they're always adamant that it's a network issue, always. But half the time it's not.
So that's it, the end of Samsung for me.
We could always try the Moto ones. Are they any better? I don't know.
I've got a Moto tag, and I used it to test it out, and it works as perfectly well as the phone, because it doesn't use Samsung system. All it does really is do exactly the same as what an Android phone would do. It just, you know, that's it really, and so it works really, really well at the moment. It seems much better than Samsung tags. Anyway, we'll go from there. I just got a message from Steve Litchfield, who said that he wanted to chat about his new museum, his Symbian Museum, and he's sent in an audio clip to just tell us what he's up to with that. So I'll just plug that in. This is the show of plugins at the moment. I'll plug that in now. So here's Steve.
Hello again, PSC listeners. It's Steve Litchfield, and I wanted to chat about a new museum. In this case, it's not Ben Wood's excellent mobilephonemuseum.com. This is my self-titled, self-penned Symbian Museum myself. I wanted to celebrate the classic Symbian-based Nokia and Sony Ericsson a communicators of the early 2000s and on until about 2010. I've collected about 20-odd devices. I'm aiming to get up to 30 again, giving each of them a write-up and high-resolution photographs. Thanks for people who have already submitted devices, and in one case sent a donation as well to help acquire new devices. Have a look at the link in the show notes, but go to stevelitchfield.com if you're not sure, and of course you can follow your nose from there. Yeah, so if you've got an old Nokia and want to get it out, charge it up, celebrate it, remember it, and also see what I thought about it, and other devices of the era, then can I just plug my own Symbian Museum? Again, link in the show notes. And back to Ted and Joe, and I will see all of you listening to this on the next PSC Live.
Thanks a lot, Steve. And we hope that people will send you lots of devices and you'll have lots of fun with your little Symbian collection there. So well done indeed. Right, OK, what's next? News? The Red Magic 11S Pro and the Red Magic 11S are both out there and doing stuff. Actually, they're not out there apart from in China, but this is the newly announced today thing. And I'm always tempted by... I don't think I've ever had a proper gaming phone, and I wouldn't want it for gaming, but I'd want it for the brilliant kind of hardware stuff like speakers and solid build and blah blah blah. Have you ever had a gaming phone?
Do you know what? I haven't either, but they've always appealed to me for the very reasons you've mentioned. But as much as I like the cameras on phones, I could sacrifice that for the other benefits.
Yeah, I don't know what the cameras are like on this one. 250-megapixel cameras on that one. That's the Pro Plus, and this is the Pro, and this one's got the same, yeah. So there's two available, and it looks like pricing is in the region of, well, it's only being quoted in Chinese at the moment, but it looks like it's going to be 750 quid, I reckon, and about 950 quid, something like that, for the two different models. But it does look nice, although I did like the... Which is the one that's got the... Oh, that's the Pro Plus model. It's got that cooling thing on the back, which... Which... what's his name? Flossie was showing off, if you remember.
It looks very cool.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. I do like it, yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
I like the silver look to it as well.
No, you want the black one, not the silver one. Come on.
Where's the black one? I've not seen that. Oh, yeah, there you are. Oh, yeah. No, I quite like the silver, Ted.
Yeah.
They both look nice, though.
We have this argument on PSC camera creations all the time. Black versus silver. Anyway.
Oh, yeah,
right.
You do like a black camera, you do, don't you? I like the red accent as well. I'm a sucker for a red accent on any button or switch.
Yeah, or blue will do. Any will do.
Yeah.
But accents are nice, you're right. There's a phone screen that's being produced any minute by this company called Tianma, and apparently it's got 0.3 millimetre bezels all the way around. There's an article here that is kind of making the question about who's going to buy it first. So this company has produced it, and it looks like no one's jumped in yet to say, we'll have that, put it on our phone. And this article is trying to predict who'll be first on that one. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that. But virtually bezel-less, you know, virtually bezel-less.
It's crazy that.
There's a conversation going on about app bubbles, which I've got running here on my various Pixel devices. They were talking about it in the tech forums recently, and I personally can't see that I'm going to use it. But what I would say is that it works really well. So my Pixels are on the beta, Android 17 beta, QPR, and it's working here. And it works perfectly as they say it works. So you go to your home screen and you long press an app, and one of the options that now come up in the context menu is bubble. You can then bubble it, and it's basically a task manager or a split screen function, or, you know, it's just the way that Google have chosen to do it. and no doubt will try to bring to core Android at some point. And you can jump between them. You can slide the whole cluster of whatever you've got open off to the edge of the screen. If you want to get rid of it all, you just drag it down and put it in the X. You know, other OEMs have done this. It's just that they've decided to do it now. Incidentally, it doesn't work with all applications. It does need, by the looks of it, some sort of developer switch to be turned on, because some apps just don't do it. That bubble thingy is not there. So have you been able to have a play with this at all?
No, I haven't, but I can imagine this will be really good on a foldable with that extra real estate. I've never really used, you know, when you get chat bubbles and you have different chats in bubbles, I've never really used that much.
No.
But this could be more useful, really.
I never thought about that. On my Pixel Fold, opening it up and using it inside might be more useful. Mm. You're right. Yeah, so there you go. There was a story this week about Microsoft Surface Duo 3 and what could have been over at Windows Central. And they reckon that they've uncovered this this patent, which shows that it was going to have a button that springs the display open at you, which I've often thought this, because so many times we see on YouTube videos people trying to get their fingernails in between the two halves of a folding phone to try and get the blooming thing open. And I've done the same. Some designs are just really difficult to open, particularly the Samsung ones, I think, because they're so unrounded on the edges. And this was going to solve that if they ever made this device with a button to spring it open. Good idea. No?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. But it's like you say, it's what could have been, which is quite a shame, really. It's upsetting.
But now this has raised its head. It might be that someone will pick up on it and say, "Yeah, we'll do that." I can imagine Oppo or Honor doing it. Say, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do it." And then 5 minutes later, it's done.
Possibly, yeah. I didn't see this part because I saw you posted it, but there's an extra bit here with some more components.
I think that's stuff that we already know. So the new news is the sprung loaded thing. That other stuff down there, I think we already knew about that. But
okay. Yeah. I'm just getting nerdy because I see more pictures.
Okay. And the Android show, you wanted to just touch on that?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything that caught your eye on the Android show. I mean, for me, I quite like the autofill stuff because I use autofill a lot, and if that's going to get better, that's great. And I love the idea of being able to create my own widgets because I don't utilize widgets enough, but I think it's because I can't make my own. If I could make my own, that might be quite good. I don't know if anything caught your eye on the Android show.
I'm not really sure that it has really. It just seems to be very iterative, doesn't it? With bits and pieces here and there. I think the most interesting bit about the whole show is one that you mentioned to me earlier, which is the Google Book. I'm still not really convinced that it's a good idea, given the history of what Google have done with abandoning things and Chromebooks and Chromebook Plus and Pixel tablets and Pixel slates and blah blah blah. Can they be trusted to? Yeah, and no doubt they'll sell the initial hardware through their partners or whatever at greatly inflated prices. What did you think of that?
I mean, we know they'd make some lovely hardware, especially when it comes to like Chromebooks. I'm sure it'd be a lovely device, but probably, like you said, inflated prices. I thought the mouse wiggle thing it showcased, that was quite interesting. Yeah. Bringing Gemini intelligence, they call it now, onto the screen. I thought that'd be quite a useful little tool.
I think that was the best part of it, frankly, and very well thought out. I think, I could see myself using that, but I don't think that it will be very useful with a trackpad. I don't know what you think, but with a separate mouse, I think it will work really well. But with a I don't know. Any thoughts?
It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, I think you could with a trackpad, you probably easily do it by accident, perhaps. Yeah. Be interesting to see. I mean, I'm guessing they've made it so it's not easily done by accident, and it's very purposeful. But we'll see. I mean, it might show that Google are trying to make a bigger ecosystem, because they did talk about Gemini intelligence across all your different devices as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's watch this space, I guess. And I know loads of people are going to be excited for 3D emojis.
Yes, slightly not. Next week, is it next week?
Google I.O.,
So, I don't think I've watched the last two of those, because they're just so kind of, they just seem to come across as a you know, an advert and a show. They who was that woman they had on the Android show, that famous
Paris
person?
Hilton.
Yeah,
Paris Hilton. Yeah, it was so cheesy.
Blimey. You were interested in the Android Auto, though. I'm not, because I haven't got a car and I know nothing about it. But was there anything that you wanted to say about that?
Well, I'm quite excited for the changes, for not so much for me, but for other people, because Android Auto has always been a shadow of what Apple produce, from what I've heard. But yeah, it looks like a bit of a revamp, and again, Gemini intelligence is involved again. You can make widgets as well, and all sorts you can do. So yeah, a revamp of something that's historically not been great is a good thing. But let's see if it makes it stable enough for everyone, because one thing that did catch my eye is they said how, like, no matter what size and shape of your screen in your car, it would adapt to it.
Right.
Because that's been a problem as well for Android Auto, that for some screens it just looks really rubbish and doesn't go to the ratio of your screen properly, whereas they were suggesting it would work. So they even showed like a circular screen and some elongated screens and all sorts in their advert. So
cool.
Yeah, that'll be good potentially.
I've just realized that I just clicked on the IO thingy and it says it's starting in 22 hours 14 minutes and 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2. So it's tomorrow. I haven't clocked that it's tomorrow, so 22 hours from now will be about, yeah, it's going to be 6 p.m, isn't it? So I don't know if I'm going to sit and watch that. It depends what I'm doing, really. If I'm not doing anything, I might, but we'll see.
I always find a good catch-up video is better.
Get all the main points. Yeah, totally. I think you're right, particularly if they're going to roll out washed-up has-been celebrities in the mix as well. It's very annoying when they... Let's have a look at this. Let's cut to something we recorded. Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? It's funny, Paris Hilton was also in Moto's advertising recently as well. So I don't know what's...
Right.
She must have a really good agent.
Yeah, except that Moto and Google, I suppose, are kind of in bed together these days as well. So they're probably all sharing their resources, aren't they?
Yeah, probably,
yeah. Right, OK, what have you got to talk about in Joe's throws? Anything interesting?
I really wanted to discuss the new Sony Xperia, because a lot of people are poo-pooing it, but I think I wanted to say some positive things, because I am a bit of a fan. But first, I will say, yes, it is overpriced for most people, for what you get, perhaps. It's $1,399. However, I do have some positive thoughts. If you're looking for headphones as well as a phone, on launch they're giving you the XM6 headphones free, which retail at £329. So that's a nice combo, and makes the price a bit more palatable then, doesn't it?
Just over $1,000, yeah.
The design. Remember when we saw the render on PSC before, we was both saying, oh, that's ugly, it's horrible. But actually, from videos and real-life images I've seen now, I don't hate it now, actually. I think the texture they've done, which is, and the colouring across them, is quite impressive. They've managed, even across different materials, get the same finish and colour. And it feels more, I think you would like it, because it's from all accounts, it's much more rugged, and it doesn't slip in your hand,
okay,
which is good with that texture.
I believe that when I see it.
Yeah. Well, there was a few saying that you can scratch it and it will fire your nails away. I was like, okay,
really?
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, which seems to suggest it's quite grippy.
Yeah,
And I do quite like the garnet red colour.
Oh yeah, that's by far the best one, isn't it?
yeah. I mean, the low light silver is okay. It's probably my second choice, but that garnet red's beautiful. Very, very nice. Yeah. I will say I still don't like the camera arrangement being rearranged like that, with an asymmetric sort of free going like that. But the Sony text on the back looks quite smart. And I noticed they've done the same on the frame with Xperia. Yeah. That's a nice little touch.
I've got that on the 10 Mark 7 as well, down the edge. It looks quite classy.
It does, yeah, it does. So, yeah, for the design, considering what we saw in the renders, and I was like, we were both saying, that's disgusting. I've really grown to quite like the look of it now. I remember this is still quite a niche device with things like the uninterrupted screen, right? So, obviously, it's got a bit of a chin and a bit of a forehead, which I don't mind. I'll take that for a screen that's not got any holes or pill shaped things covering your viewing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a headphone jack, he's got that now. Expandable storage.
Yo.
A SIM tray that you can pull out without a tool.
Whoa.
That's very handy. Capacitive fingerprint scanner, which I'm a fan of.
Whoa.
That's always great. Dedicated two-stage shutter button.
Whoa.
Not many good phones with that, especially not implemented as well as Sony do it. And dual front-facing speakers.
Whoa! According to GSM Marina, are even more bassy than and better quality than the last generation.
Which were already fantastic. So if they've got better, that's amazing. And the thing about this pack, that all that is paired up with improvements to the camera system, most notably the telephoto. The sensor's four times bigger. It's 1/1.56 inches now, the sensor. The Mark 7 was 1/3.5. So that's a massive improvement, especially going to be helpful in low light. And it's paired up with a 48 megapixel sensor as well. They have taken away the moving parts, so you don't get the lossless zoom across different zoom ranges now, which is sad. But I think overall it's an improvement.
Cool.
Because that was one thing. Because they did that moving part and lossless zoom, but then it has a pretty bad sensor. So it's like, well, yeah. It's not great, is it? So that's an improvement. It's powered by the Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5. So that's the flagship SoC for 2026.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant. Now the screen specs seem pretty much identical to the last one. It's not exciting, and perhaps there should be slightly better specs on a phone that's that price point. But the screen is fine. It's good. It's still got a billion colours and all that jazz going on. It's a nice screen still. But as we mentioned, the speakers have been upgraded, and if that's true, that's some feat because they're already fantastic speakers. I'm sure you'd love to test that.
Yeah,
Ted.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No question at all.
There's been a lot of talk about the AI camera assistant. You've probably seen it, Ted. If you haven't, I'll tell you about it. So the pictures actually look better in the original rather than the AI assistant's choices. Very washed out and overexposed. It's a bit strange. I mean, I don't know who signed that off, because you think Sony know a thing or two about photography, right? But
there's been some comeback on that now from Sony, hasn't there? They've kind of tried to argue it away somehow.
See, I do wonder if it was on purpose, you know, because even though it's like bad press, it's got everyone talking about Sony devices, so it could have been on purpose. And if it was, maybe it is a bit clever. I mean, for me, I probably wouldn't use that AI assistant much at all anyway, whether it was good or bad.
No.
Talking of AI, though, there's very little AI on this device compared to others, which may appeal to some people. And especially even with the photography side of things, there's less AI processing. So you'll probably find that the zoom shots outside of optical aren't as well processed because they're not using AI as much. But again, some people prefer that. So,
mm-hmm.
Software is very vanilla. We know that as a Sony fan. I don't mind it. Yeah, exactly. Doesn't excite me, but it also doesn't put me off at all. Battery, I'd like to have seen a bigger one, but in the past, the battery's always been good. And from all accounts, with the Snapdragon 8 Gen, 8 Elite Gen 5, and with the power efficient screen, the battery's actually very good with 5,000 milliamp hour. So that's not too bad either. So my verdict is, would I buy one? No, probably not because of the cost. But would I like to play with one? Yes, I would love to. I really would love to. I'm sure you would as well, Ted.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't buy one at that price either because, for one thing, I couldn't be bothered with this headphones thing. I don't need a pair of Sony headphones. I've got mine and they're perfectly good. So you would then be into trying to sell them. Now, if their retail value is $329, that means that actually in the real world you might get 150 quid for them. And so that only brings the price of the phone down to $1,250. And that's still a lot of money, really. I know that Sony stuff is really, really good and desirable and lovely and all the rest of it, but there has to be a come a point where you say it's too much. If this was 999 quid, even, that would have been a really like what Motorola have done, you know, with the Edge 50 Ultra, it was 1,099 quid when they released that. But the Signature has become 899. They suddenly wised up and they said it's effectively a Edge 70 Ultra, but they brought the price down to under 1,000 quid. But you see, Sony don't care about that. They know that they've got a captive audience and those loyal fans will just buy it. And you know, particularly the people in Japan, I guess. And you know, it's they can do what they like pretty much. The battery, I do agree with you, but again, Sony are not risk takers. So the 5,000 milliamp hour battery that's worked very nicely, thank you, ever since, you know, a long time ago, they're just sticking with it. But it does show you how good that battery can be on smaller Xperia devices, including this this 10 Mark 7 I've got here. And you know, it's not driving such a big screen and such big electronics and chipset and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, that's great. But if they had put, you know, a 6,000 silicon carbon battery in this new phone, for example, that would have been a real big tick box. I think you're right, but they're not risk takers.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, I mean, so hence them going with the same screen. It's pretty much the same body in like size. I think it's very slightly heavier, but yeah, overall it's basically the same body they've had for years now.
Yeah.
It hasn't got the 21:9. It's got the same aspect ratio they've been having recently.
I can't decide about that, Joe. Sometimes I think the 10 Mark 7 is nicer like that, and then I pick up my 5 Mark 5 with 21:9 and I think, but that's also really nice. I really can't decide.
Yeah, are they going to do the 5 range again? Because
no,
such a shame, because I reckon a 5 Mark 8 would be quite appealing,
mind you.
A little bit money shaved off.
Yeah, mind you. Having said that, no one has actually said they're not going to do that. It's just that they've gone through the Xperia 6, 7, and now 8, and no sign of it. So
yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. But like you say, they're not selling bags of these devices, are they?
I think what they need to do is up the specs a bit on the 10 range. I was saying in my review of the 10 Mark 7 that if this had wireless charging and if it had an always-on display, for example. I know that's peculiar to me, but if it just had a few bits extra that the 5 series had, even if they lopped on 50 quid for it or something, you know, keep it under 500 quid still, but just put a couple of things in that make it a little bit more appealing, is my view.
Yeah, because the 10 range is actually quite popular, actually, and that's probably the one that across Europe sells quite a lot, I would have thought.
I love my blue one. Turquoise it is, and it's just gorgeous.
Beautiful colour, isn't it? Is that, really is that is. Like a plastic build?
Yeah, it's plastic. It's all plastic. But it's fine. Worked really nicely. And I'm just bugged with it, as I said in my review, because of those things I just mentioned. No wireless charging and no always-on display. If it had those two things, I did do some testing with add-on. You know, I mean, you can put a coil on the back under the case and you can add an always-on display in software, but I don't know, it's just not the same. I did hear that somebody was... somebody put Lineage OS on their Xperia 10 Mark 7, and if we've got time, I might go into that a bit later on because I did try that. But let's finish off what you've got to talk about, if anything else.
There's not much more. One thing I wanted to say, I haven't used the pen for my Fold much, but one thing I did notice is how responsive it is. So as soon as I take the pen out, as soon as I click it even, the phone recognises it so instant. It's brilliant. It's really good. I don't know if you've experienced that with the signature as well.
It does recognise it quickly. And I also discovered something that I was trying to see if I could get it to work by firing up the home screen like a Samsung device when you take the pen out, or like the G stylus devices do, you know. But it doesn't really work in the same way. But what you can do is you can take the pen out and then long press the button on the side of the pen and then double tap it on the screen, and it then opens you up into a note to take a new note in the same way. But it's not smart like Samsung do it, where you just pull it out and it works. You see, for one thing, if you've got a screen lock in place, you've got to also get past that, either with your face unlock or your pattern or whatever. If you've got face unlock, usually that should work, though, because by the time you've done all that, it's seen your face and it opens up and it gives you the notepad. Fair enough. But it's not as smart.
Yeah, not as smart. I'm going to play with it a bit more, because I'm going to start working on a review for the phone and pen together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love how responsive it is. That's a good part of it for sure. Like you say, I'm still not sure about the little cigar case. I think it's nice. Just remembering to have it on you all the time. It is nice and light though. It's not massive in your pocket. I'll give them that. And I like the texture of it. And it's good that it actually charges the pen in the case, because that's one thing about the Honor one. It's not so great. You have to charge the pen separately, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. I've tried to find some way of charging the pen on the phone, and it just doesn't work. However, there is a magnet on the back, and I put a little picture there in the show notes for you to see. If you put the pen on the back of the signature, there is a place where it will stay there.
interesting.
It doesn't charge, but it does stay there on the back, kind of. It's not particularly strongly held, but it does. I don't think they've designed it for that. They designed it for bloody MagSafe stuff, haven't they? So
yeah. But I mean, it looks perfect like that in that little slot next to the camera bump as well.
Yeah. So there is that, and I didn't test it with the case on. That was with the case off. I've just got a bit fed up, I think, with the signature already, because it's too big. That's the main annoyance, I think, is that it's just a gigantic great phone, and of course that's got its benefits, but for me, when I've got other... I'm edging towards dinkier phones, I think, and it's a... it's just too big for me. Of course, your Motorola Razr Fold is even bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, it is quite bulky in comparison, because that's ultra thin, isn't it, that signature? Like you say, there is benefits, but I do understand where you're coming from, because I've got very small hands. I've just got used to big phones now. But I think, so watch this space. Ted might be putting that up on Classified.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not yet convinced, but because I feel as though it's a spankingly good flagship device, and I jolly well should be using it. And maybe if the pen was in a silo inside the phone, I might give it more of a chance. But I have to say that it doesn't get as much use as I thought I hoped it would have done. But how does your Razer Fold compare so far with your favourite, lovely, love of your life device, the Honor Magic V5?
I mean, it's very good. I mean, the camera system's up there, really, because it's got the same camera system as the Signature, which I really enjoyed.
Right.
So that's a real positive for it. The battery life is fantastic. It's just as good as the V5, I'd say. So I'm enjoying that. The software is nice, very basic. Motorola is very basic, but that's lovely. I haven't tried multitasking too much on it yet. So I need to do that, and I need to try the pen a bit more. But overall, I'd say it's great. There's certain things where I think the V5 is superior, because it's a bit lighter, and the hinge doesn't have the gap which I've mentioned to you before. The speakers are good on it, but like I said, when you open it up, they're both on the left hand side, unless you rotate the screen, which is a bit annoying. But the speakers are good though.
Is that different on the V5? I think they are, aren't they? They're smartly placed, aren't they?
I think so, yeah, unless I'm remembering wrong.
I think they are.
But I've used it for so long and now I can't remember. That's weird, isn't it? But yeah. Actually, how are you finding the V5?
Well, I think physically it feels really solid, really well made, strong and weighty, and the hinge mechanism is just super. It all just works really, really nicely. Although you had said that the hinge mechanism in the Motorola Razer Fold has got a very small gap in it, haven't you? Like the earlier Samsung models. Yeah. That's a real shame, isn't it? Because this V5 hasn't.
No, neither has the Fold 7, from memory. So, that's one thing that is, a bit older in tech-wise. But because the Razer, the flippy ones don't have a gap, do they?
No, they don't.
No, so... No. Yeah, I'm not sure why. But, I mean, it's not a deal-breaker for me, because it doesn't really change your functionality of it. It's just when you look at it...
You can see daylight through it, can't you?
No, you can't see daylight.
Oh, okay.
I know you can, you can. I lied, you can. At the very end there, where the gap is, you can. Yeah. I'll just put it up to the window.
That's not very good, really, is it, in this day and age, I don't think?
No, because that means things can get in between your screen there.
I suppose they might argue that means it can also come out again, though, and not scratch your screen.
Yeah, there is an argument for that as well.
But it feels like it's 2 years old to me, that kind of problem, which everyone else has fixed.
That's kind of my point. It just feels like a little bit older in tech, whereas everyone's moved on. But I mean, I think for their first ever Book Fold, it really is impressive. The hinge, like I say, is excellent. The screens are beautiful. The speakers are good. It's got pen input on both the inner and outer screen. Strange decision though that they've gone with the 8 Gen 5 instead of the 8 Elite Gen 5. I don't know if that's to do with thermals or what, but you'd think, because it's their flagship device, with quite a price point behind it,
it all feels as though it was designed long ago, doesn't it? And they just went with it and stuck with it, and they invested too much to say, hang on a minute, let's update this.
You could be onto something there, Ted, to be honest, because, yeah, you could well be onto something there. I think it's great. Do you know what? We're blessed with loads of options in Europe. But if you think about the US market, this is quite good for the US market, I'd say.
What do you mean?
Maybe we can get Scott Brady, because they've not got as many options like we have.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Motorola are kind of flooding America now at the moment, aren't they? So if they get this... In fact, I was watching a YouTube video from a tech journalist the other day saying that they couldn't believe that the signature has not been released in America, because they thought that the signature would just be an absolutely brilliant seller. But... You know, Motorola decided not to do that, but they have gone with the folder. So
like they will go with the signature at some point in the US. I do find that strange, very strange. Just because I think it would do quite well. But going back to the Razr Fold, you think about it against the Fold 7 from Samsung. Obviously, they're going to be coming out of a new one soon, though, and who knows what that's going to be like. But if you compare it to the Fold 7, the cameras. Better as a whole camera system, and the battery life is probably better. So there is things going for this over the Fold 7.
Yeah, definitely, because Samsung are being just as cautious as Sony in terms of their batteries. So there is that. But yes, I think that the V5 screen is really nice and bright and colourful inside and out. The crease is visible, but as we know, but it is getting to be not current these days, and the new, particularly the Oppo creases, seem to be reducing down. But the V5 came along a bit of a time ago. When did it get released? About, what is it, a year ago or 18 months?
In China, probably over a year ago, but in the UK it was around July, July time. So
not yet a year, but even so, a year's a long time in tech, I suppose. And it's got water and dust. It hasn't got great for water and dust, but it's there and it's got it. It's got 7 years of updates. I was surprised to find that out. I'd forgotten that the V5 was getting 7 years of updates. So 7 years of OS updates, that is, and years of security. So that's pretty good. The thing I don't like about it, and the same thing I don't like about my 400 Pro these days, is the kind of thick ecosystem, deep stuff of their own. Lots of it Apple copied, as I keep banging on about. It's all layered over the top. And to my mind, this is a bit of a deal breaker when you're comparing it to the... To an option from Motorola particularly, which is, as you said, nice and clean and works really well. And it's just really annoying that it's all been, thickly layered over the top with this. We know that if you buy it on a two-year contract, you'll get used to it and you'll just have to live with it, and hopefully the benefits outweigh. I mean, but you've lived with it for quite a long time, and it was your favourite device, and probably still is. So you must have got used to the ecosystem.
Yeah, no, I quite like it. I've got used to it, as you say, but I can see how it's an acquired taste, definitely. And it's not, you're not the only person to say the same thing. I think it's one of them ones you either get on well with it or you dislike it. Because there is a large batch of people that say the same, as I say. Yeah. So I think there is a lot there. If you're willing to sort of deep dive into it and use... Like when I had another on a device without a SIM in, it would hotspot to it. It would give me the option just opening it up. It would say, do you want a hotspot to your V5? Which was a nice little feature. They do read each other quite nicely.
Right.
There's some benefits, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. That's for sure.
I did think that the chipset was brilliant, though. The 8 Elite. You know, that, I mean, that you can't argue with that. And the Moto Razr Fold hasn't got that, as you said earlier. 16 gigs of RAM. Nothing ever closes down while I've been using it. 512 gigs of storage. I mean, I'm okay with 256 probably, but you know, more is better always. The speakers are loud. Though there's none of this 200-400% thing going on. So with the 400 Pro, it had the 200% hike, and with the Magic 8 Lite, it even upped that to 400%, which really throws the sound out. But they're loud. I just don't think that on the V5 they've got the best quality that I've got. I think that the Pixel Fold for me is still holds that crown in my circle. Maybe at top volume, the V5 sounds a little bit shrill on volume and makes you reach for wavelet or some other way of adjusting the sound up. But they're very good, though. We're being very picky here. The battery's really good as well. 5,820 silicon carbon, and it worked really well. It performed beautifully. 66 watt wired. The Qi charging too at 50 watts. If you've got one that supports it, good luck finding one of those. I did see it. When I plugged it in, I saw it charging at 54 watts when it was down to 30%. Using my 100 watt GAN U Green charger. So they say that you only get that kind of, you know, 66 watts if you use their own charger, but actually it's not far off. I was getting 54, so that's really absolutely good. The only thing that I did notice, which you probably have seen time and again, is that when you plug in a charger by cable, it tells you to unfold the phone flat for optimal charging. And I thought to myself, what's that about then? So I asked Gemma, and she reckons it's probably for the likelihood of heat dissipation, and if you open it up, then it'll get the fastest charging speeds and not be throttled because it's getting too hot. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, I think you probably are right, because it's funny, because I actually do charge this Razr Fold the same, just out of habit. I open it up at night and charge it the same, even though it doesn't give you that warning message on that. Right. I just do it because I'm so used to doing it.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
And perhaps there is good reasons for it, and is the heat thing.
Yeah, perhaps that's what it is. Fingerprint scanner is fabulous, first time every time. Face unlock is really, really good. And the cameras, I guess that you won't do much of a deep dive comparison between the V5 and the Moto Razr Fold until you kind of have more experience with it. But you've done some videos on YouTube, which we can link in the show notes to, where you gave the V5 a good thorough testing with the camera, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it's a really good camera system. Like I say, on foldable devices, they're not always giving you the best cameras, especially when it comes to the telephoto. Whereas I think that all round is a really nice camera system, more than usable. But I'd say the same with this Razr Fold. So it would be interesting to compare, actually, and something I will get onto, although the V5 is going to be doing its rounds with a few people.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, my other observations of the V5 is that, the pen's great, so you can use it on the lock screen, on the outside screen, and open up, which is really good, which you just said you can also do with the Moto Razr Fold, so they've both got that. What I was concerned about was the vulnerability of the edges. Because I knew that it was your favourite device, and I was kind of treating it with cotton wool, really, and I was just so frightened of dropping it. And the case that you supplied with it, or they supply with it, is this half front case. Half back case. So the case goes around the back and has that little kickstand in it around the camera. And then it wraps itself around the hinge as well, but there's nothing on the front. And it just feels like that's missing, because all of the edges on the front just feel really vulnerable to me. And I did think to myself that I probably, if I owned the device, I would be looking for a slim, soft TPU to protect those front edges. But I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
I do get where you're coming from, because they had that on the V3. I will tell you, Ted, that them screen protectors, or the frame screen protectors cases that go on the front, they are quite annoying when you do gestures, which for me is quite a big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even this one I've got on the Razer Fold, it doesn't allow me to go right to the edge. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and I'm starting to think I might take this front case off, even on here. And there, like you say, there is risk there, but I think it outweighs usability. So I think I may well take that off. Yeah, it's catch-22 though.
That's different on the Signature, because the Signature, as you know, the supplier case has got the bottom is just away from it, and it's got the screens that kind of slightly curve as well, and that all just works really well, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Signature's beautiful. I think that's the perfect screen, the way it just drops off slightly at the edges, doesn't it? It's perfect for gestures. It's wonderful.
I got a bit annoyed with your V5's always on display. It does stay on nearly all the time, but sometimes I just glance over to it. If it's sat on the arm of the sofa or the chair, or the arm of the sofa or the chair, and it's off. And I think, why have you got it turned always on display? It's supposed to be always on. Now, to be fair, it didn't turn off on my charging stand during the night, but just occasionally I'd look across and it was gone, and I thought, oh, for goodness sake, even Honor with their flagship are so cautious of these batteries that they're crippling the always on display. Did you notice? Oh, you don't use the always on display, do you?
not to that degree, no. The nearly always on display.
Anyway,
that is frustrating, though. It shouldn't do that.
I think that's really annoying, particularly with the other devices from Honor, where they blatantly lie about it. Let's not go there again.
Talking of your nightstand quickly, Ted, do you see like the little clock that comes up when you charge it?
No, I didn't notice that.
You should try putting it on its side. Oh, you've boxed it up now, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Oh.
Right. It does the Apple thing, does it? You see, that's another Apple copy. So if you put it on the side,
it's something good.
I know. I'm only joking. So if you put it on the side, it gives you the calendar and the clock, does it?
Yeah. It does have different. You've got different clocks you can have. Okay. It's quite nice. Yeah.
I wish I'd tried that now. Never mind.
I should have mentioned. Sorry, Ted.
No worries. Notifications lighting up the whole screen. Works beautifully well. Well done, Honor. You got a point for that. 400 Pro does that as well. And the thing is that when most phones, when a notification comes in, it comes up on the screen, but it doesn't light the whole screen up. Sony do that works that way. Honor does. Samsung does as well now that I set the thing up properly with my S24 Plus. So you do get that on there as well. But most phones, you know, just don't. They splash the most notification up in a bar if you set it up that way, but it doesn't light the screen up. Of course, you've got the flash on the back you can set to fire off. It's just not the same, though. And I like that about the V5 and the 400 Pro. So well done to Honor.
Good stuff.
Right, OK. Microsoft Surface Duo 2 is the next stop. And I braved it this week and decided to get the Duo DE ROM off of my Microsoft Surface Duo 2. I thought, I've had enough of this because I'm not using it. And the Duo DE apparently has stalled. The developer is not doing it anymore. So I thought, let's get it back to Android 12L. And I went through the process with Gemma at my side, leading me by the hand. And sure enough, within about 2 hours, I got there and it was working fine. The honeymoon reunion, though, was quite short. 20 minutes into it, I started to realise about all these deeply imposing Microsoft things and business orientated focus, annoying the buggery out of me, frankly. So I put Octopi Launcher on it. And it does try to strip most of it away, and it works quite well. As we know, with Octopi Launcher, you have got to set it up for all orientations. So it's quite a long setup process, but you do get it working this way, that way, and the other, and it worked really well. And I was also reminded about how great the pens are with it. Now, ironically, with OneNote, it seems to work the best because it's kind of geared up for that. So I'll give one back to Microsoft for OneNote. I've got a Renesa pen here, and I've got the original Surface Slim pen, which one of our listeners kindly sent me. I'm really sorry, but I can't remember who you were. But that worked really nicely as well. And on the side of the phone, it does work magnetically. Now, this is not the Slim Pen 2, which is the one that is supposed to be with the Microsoft Surface Duo 2. So the electrics are better slightly with that. And with the old one, the first one, there's a slight bit of lag, a bit of latency. But yeah, honestly, I didn't really notice it. But if you wanted the perfect solution with a Duo 2, you would get the Surface Slim Pen 2, I think it is. And you get the whole deal then. But it's nice. I even put my SIM card in the Duo 2. I thought, let's give this a real go and make it my phone for whatever length of time. And I did, and I set it all up, and I didn't put my banking on it, but I did everything else. And it's perfectly usable. It's really nice. It's quite big, though, for one-handed use, obviously. But I really enjoyed my time with it, and I think I'll give it some more time and go back to it. You've got one of the Surface Duos still, haven't you?
Yeah, I have still got it. I should fire it up and back again because I haven't played with it for quite some time, and I think I've come to the conclusion that a lot of people have. It's more of a companion device.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's a very good, nice notepad with that Surface Pen
That's right.
Yeah.
As I say, OneNote works really well with that. So if anyone's going to use a pen, do swallow the fact that you've got to use Microsoft and fire up OneNote, because it works really well. It's geared up for it beautifully. So have you got the original one or the two?
The original one, yeah. Right. And it's got the crack on the back like they're supposed to have.
Oh, right. What a shame.
Yeah, I don't even know how it happened. I think I need to get an extreme skins for it to cover it up, and then it'll be fine.
Right, okay, so talking of hacking stuff onto phones, I also had a go, as I mentioned earlier, to put Lineage OS on the Xperia 10 Mark 7, and it's a bit of a tale of a woe, frankly. I thought I was doing okay with it, and again, Gemma leading me by the hand, and it just all fell away in the end. She couldn't work out what Sony had done to their stuff to stop certain things working. And I do think that at the end of that process, if I want to do that, I'm going to have to send it over to Mike Warner, who I'm sure will be kind enough to do it for me and will be able to do it for me. But I'll have a word with him about that, because the Xperia 10 Mark 7, I discovered that somebody had got an always-on display on it. And I thought, right. If I put Lineage OS on it, I'll get an always-on display, if not a key charging. So anyway, that didn't work out. So I turned my attention to the Fairphone 5, and I thought, right, I'll put Lineage OS on this instead, because I'm not using this particularly as anything like a daily phone. It was so much simpler than the Xperia 10 was. The process was so much quicker, and it looks like Lineage and Fairphone have just set that up so well to make it really accessible and easy to do. There were some gaps in it, and we worked hard, Gemma and I, to fix it. For example, the location stuff was just not working. I installed the GApps functionality on it, and it still wasn't working at all properly, and then she came up with all sorts of clever workarounds, and eventually we got the location working, so any apps that were relying on that suddenly started working with it. And also Gmail was in light mode, and whatever I did to the phone to get it into dark mode, nothing happened. In the end, she sent this command line to me to put on via my computer, and Bob's your uncle, as soon as that came on, it went dark. So lots of fiddling about, and it's really good fun though, and I do really like Lineage OS. Lineage OS 23.2, which is based on Android 16, is lovely to use. There's so much nice stuff in it. So if anyone fancies having a go with any of that, and they've got a phone that can get Lineage onto it, which they're not using as their main device, I would recommend it, particularly if it's one that can get 23.2 and get right up to date. So, yes, highly recommended, and I might just have to send my phone, my Sony, to Mike.
Well, bravo to you for attempting to do it. I mean, I've always been scared of doing this type of thing. I know you've had Gemma help, but still, bravo to you giving it a go.
Yeah, thanks. I was up to now, whenever I wanted to do anything like this, I've never even tried. Since back in the Nokia days, and I would just send it to Mike, and then he would do it and say, "What's all the fuss about? It's so easy." And to some degree, if you've got someone to lead you by the hand, it probably is easy, but he doesn't need leading by the hand. Anyway, we'll go from there. Talking of Sony, I also bought the Sony Link Buds Clip. I blame Steve Nutt for that, because he told me they were great. I do like them, but they are not as easy to get on and off as the Moto Buzz Loop. I think I've just got really big ears, and for some reason the Moto Buzz Loop are quite big and easy to tweak around. So I was going to send the Link Buds back to Amazon, but they offered me a 20% discount not to. So I thought about it, and I thought, as they're 20% cheaper, I'll keep them. I might give them to someone or sell them or something, I suppose. But they're a little bit tight on the ears for me. But the Moto Buds Loop are just great. They fit me brilliantly well. The band between the front and the back, you can just undo it with one hand, and unlike all the other ones, they all seem to need two hands to yank it apart to get it on, and when it's in place it just feels like it's too tight, and you know it's there. But again, this could all be because of my I've got great big ears. I don't know, you had Moto Buzz Loop at that event, didn't you? Did you find that they were easy to put on and off?
I never tried them on, actually, funny enough. Right. But I have got here now, which I'm going to unbox on camera soon. Once I've done that, I'll be testing them out, so we can talk about them in a future show.
Which ones have you got? You've got the Buzz Loop,
the Moto Buds Loop,
lovely. Okay.
Green.
Oh, green, the same color, as yeah. Me then. Oh, right, cool. Yeah. Right, okay, we'll come back to that one. So the Soundcore C30i units are the same as the Sony ones. You know, they're just too tight on my ears. I can get away with it, but it's just with the Moto Buzz Loop, I completely forget they're there, and they can just sit there all day, and they're great. But I think it depends on the size of your ears. And I've got elephant ears, apparently. African elephant, not Indian. Right, okay, then.
good for hearing me on podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Are we done now? Have we done all our catching up stuff here? Anything have we missed anything? I don't think so.
I've still got the Edge 70 and Naughty Boy. I'm supposed to have sent that back.
Did they give you an extension?
No, I mean, they've gone AWOL. I might have to contact Wilkin instead.
Oh, right.
Did she ever get back to you, actually?
No, I've not. She went on holiday, didn't she, Emily? Yeah. Our girl at Moto, Emily.
Yeah.
She went on holiday, yeah.
I think it's like she hasn't come back.
Yeah, maybe. Perhaps you'll get to keep a Moto Edge 70.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Because do you know what? It is a lovely device. I carry it in my pocket at work. And you forget it's there. It's so light.
Yeah.
And you were saying how the signature's too big. The Edge 70, in terms of size, is perfect. It really is the perfect size, I'd say.
Right.
It's still enough screen real estate there, but it's just that little bit smaller. I think it's gorgeous.
I think the width is significant as well. The signature, when I had the Edge 70 alongside the signature, it was the width. The signature is just wider in the hand. And it just feels wider somehow. It's all. If I take the case off of the signature, it's a different experience. But I can't risk using a phone like that. Come on, for goodness sake.
I would love this Edge 70 with the higher end chipset and the better cameras. I'd say it'd be a perfect phone then,
and a bigger fat battery.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, we're adding more and more now.
Yeah, you'll need the signature. No, the signature's not got a huge battery, but it's certainly better. Link in the show notes to Ian Furlong's review on the Magic V5 as well over at Cool Smartphone. And also, as I said, Joe's YouTube video over at Screen On Time. You got your daughter to say that today. That's quite funny with your unboxing.
Do you know what? I had to get her to say it. So she kept saying scream. I was like, it's not scream. And she kept forgetting to say it's. So she was saying scream on time. And I was like, God, Saoirse. And then she went right into the camera, as kids do, with their face right in the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't work with animals or kids, they say, don't
you? Yeah. That unboxing was for the watch, wasn't it?
Yes, the Moto watch, yeah.
That's the new round one, which I think looks bulky compared to the nice, slim, svelte-like watch fit. I'm not sure why it needs to be that size, except for just style, I suppose. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it could be. I need to look into the actual battery sizes, but... Because, I mean, the screen's technically smaller than the Moto Watch Fit, isn't it?
Except it's the wrong shape, a different shape.
Yeah, different shape as well. Mm. I'll look into that because I couldn't find the actual battery sizes anywhere on my quick search before we came on. It doesn't feel bulky once it's on, though. Because
were you talking about the battery there? You reckon that the battery in the watch fit is more than the new one?
No. I think the battery probably is bigger, but I need to find out for sure.
Okay.
But in terms of weight, they're not too dissimilar. It's very little bit heavier, the Moto watch.
Right.
But yeah, it doesn't feel ultra bulky on your wrist, and I've got skinny wrists as well.
Right.
In fact, I've got the links I've took out here. I had to take out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 links out.
Oh dear.
That shows you how skinny my wrist is. But yeah, it doesn't feel too bulky. It doesn't look bulky once it's on. At least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The rotating crown is very nice. Nice addition on there.
Yep.
You don't have that on the watch fit.
No.
And do you know what? At the moment, it's the same price. If you get the black version, it's $89.99. The same price as the watch fit.
Oh, right. Okay.
I thought that the watch fit would be much cheaper. The price the same.
Being such a fan of the watch fit, I'll be really interested to find out what you think about that new watch. Really interested. So get on with it. Get on with it first.
Yeah, it was funny enough. My video idea now is to actually do both watches in one video.
Okay.
And talk about the similarities, talk about the differences. Because if you're in the market for a watch, it'd be good to showcase both in one video, I think.
Sure.
So that's what my plan is now.
Cool.
And then once I've done that in the future, I'd happily send this over to you, Ted, for you to have a play.
Oh, thank you. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be great, because I'd like to compare it eventually with what I already know and love. But I fear it's going to be bulky. But we'll see. If I get hands-on with it, we can both compare, can't we?
Yeah. Yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
Okay, so I'll put a link in the show notes to Joe's unboxing as well of the new Moto watch. Is it just called Moto Watch? Okay.
The original name.
Yeah. Well, at least they called the other one the Fit, I suppose.
Yeah.
Naming conventions. Right, let's get to PSC photo of the week. And I left it to you to pick one this time. So what have you picked?
Well, I said, Pete Warner shared quite a few. And I thought, let's pick one of his, because he's got quite a few. And this one's really interesting. It's got like a mountainscape in the background. You can see like a jetty with a boat, some reflection in the water. It's just lots of points of interest to look around. I mean, some people won't think it's the best composed photo, but it's just, for me, it's just really interesting. Caught my eye and I like it.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think it's you're right. It's busy, isn't it? It's got stuff going on. It's a landscape, and it's a seascape, and it's a mountainscape all in one. There's points of interest all over. The big orange building in the bottom corner there is that really draws your eye to, because it's the most colourful thing in the frame. And that shape of that building there, I've no idea what it is, obviously.
Yeah, but unique.
Really interesting looking building there, which has got also an interesting bit of shading going on one side and sun on the other, and that all works really well towards the composition. The white boat in the foreground throws, as you say, a reflection which is really attractive. Those two cables that disappear out the front of the frame, I'm not sure what, presumably they're holding on to something, I don't know what that is, but that makes for even more interesting. And yes, the snow-capped mountains are just lovely, aren't they? Going to Norway must be quite an experience, and it sounds like Pete has been there for two or three weeks, and he's taking lots of photos, as you say. So,
well, I saw one of a boat. I think he's on a cruise, it seems like. Yeah, because he's been to Copenhagen as well, so he must be doing a Scandinavian cruise of some sort. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So yeah, well done, Pete. Nice photo. So he took that on a Pixel 10, wasn't it?
I think it was Pixel 10.
So very nice indeed. Well done. Right, classifieds we're going to do on the fly because we forgot to do it, and so there it goes. what can we find? There's a watch. You like watches? A GT5 Pro, which is a Huawei watch. Does that work all right with non-Chinese stuff? I suppose it must do.
I think it probably does. I mean, I don't know if it's got the pay on it though, because I think the new one has,
right?
The 6 Pro. I mean, this is a lovely watch. I think from all accounts it's got a very good battery life on it. He said it's in excellent condition as well.
115 quid.
Yeah, I think it's well worth that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got? For sale, what's that? Oh, a pair of headphones. Wanted, for sale, wanted. Oh, the Magic 7 Pro. You must have something to say about that, because that's brand new, sealed in a box. And it's the 1 terabyte, 16 gig version, global version in black, with a charger in the box and a year's warranty and 550 quid. Now, I know it's not the same slimmer build of the Magic 8 Pro, which we were talking about before, but even so, for 550 quid, they and that's the top of the line version as well. Don't you think that's neat? Yeah.
That's a wonderful buy for someone, definitely. Considering that's sealed and it's a terabyte version, 16 gig of RAM as well, that's a wonderful buy. I'm surprised that's not been snapped up already.
Yeah,
really am.
That's Gaz Morris selling that. So somebody snap that up before I get tempted, for goodness sake. I can't afford it. There's also a Magic 8 Pro in there, which is we were just talking about. Not as cheap, of course, but not far off. So this is the Magic 8 Pro 512 and 12 gigabyte version, 580 quid. And that comes with a charger and box and everything else as well. So, there's an 8 as well. Fancy that?
Again, that's an amazing deal, because especially throwing the charger in the box as well and two cases. Yeah, I think that's fine. Because like you say, that's one thing I do prefer, which is notable straight away, is the size. It's just trimmed it all the way around, thickness, height, width, the whole lot's just trimmed down from the 7 Pro.
Yeah.
So I much prefer it. Again, I'm surprised that's not been snapped up.
Do you see the little backstory there? Mint condition, case since purchase, screen protector, blah, blah, blah. Developed a fault with camera stabilization, so it was fixed by Honor under warranty. The main board was replaced and it's now working perfectly again. The phone returned in perfect condition, and all repair documentation will be provided. So, you know, it's even got new parts on it.
Yeah. That's good that they fixed it. So I've heard some horror stories on a warranty, but I've also heard some good stories. So it's always mixed bag, isn't it? But it looks like Kevin's had a good experience.
Oh, look, there's a camera down. Scott McAllister is selling a camera, a Sony camera, no less. And what is it? The A6400. I think Chris Clayton has spoken about the A6400 as the kind of, you know, the one of the cheaper ways to get into the Sony system. Do you know this camera?
Yes, it's a very nice camera, actually. My friend had this. He recently sold his. It's a very good camera, especially as your first one, because it's APS-C, isn't it, this one?
Yes.
So it's not full frame. It's nice and lightweight, easy to pick up and take pictures on the run. That's the problem with my full frame camera. I don't go out of it enough.
Yeah.
Whereas something this size, I probably would. It's a good buy. That do you know what? I sent this to a load of friends because he was giving a price for the bundle. Yeah, between $850 or $950. Because he was selling quite some other extra bits there. He's got a Sigma 16mm lens. You've got some DJI Ronin mics. Is it a mic? It's got all sorts there. Yeah, like a small rig.
Little package. 4 o'clock,
yeah. Very yeah, nice. There's loads of good stuff there. Like a nice little starter pack.
But the camera is 500 quid, so there you go. You can choose that one. One last shout out to Mark McCannany. He's trying to sell his Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra, 256 gigabytes, brand new in box, sealed. He said that he missed the return window. he's offering that out at 900 quid, and he would consider swaps for that as well. So there you go. There's a few bits and pieces of what's going on in the classifieds. If you want to join our classifieds group, it is a closed members group only, so email me at the address that I'm sure you know if you're listening to this, and we'll talk about you getting into that. So there you go. phoneshowchat.uk is our website, and don't forget the two S's in the middle. And if you want to buy me a copy, you can do that at paypal.me/Ted Salmon. If you want to buy Joe a copy, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. What else can I tell you? The Podhub UK is where you'll find links to all the other stuff that we're doing. And if you go to tedsalmon.com, the new look tedsalmon.com website with all dark now, then I changed it from light into dark and it looks much nicer, I think. Anyway, you can find all the links to all the audio podcasts and all the MeWe groups, as usual, in there. So what you're gonna I think next week we've got Mark Mockin on the show, and he's very good with his photography with phones, so it should be quite interesting to you can take the lead on that one as you're into photography.
Yeah, it's always great having a chat with Mark. I think he's got the 8 Pro as well, hasn't he?
Don't know.
From memory.
Can't remember.
I think he has. Talking of photography, though, Ted, reminder for everyone that to check out the PSC Photography Podcast, which we were recording new episode Thursday.
We will. You're right. And what's the theme of that? I can't remember now. Oh, no. I don't think we've decided on a theme yet. Anyway, there you go.
It'll be a surprise for people to listen to.
Yeah, this Thursday coming, you're absolutely right. And so, yeah, thanks to Jeremy and to Steve for their plugins for this show. And we hope that you'll join us again next week and you'll listen to all this drivel once again, but not from Mark Mockin, though. He'll be the sensible one. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone. Cheers for now.
Goodbye.